All right, the primaries are over, and we are now in the run-up to the midterm elections. And in addition to, say, party, their platform, you know, the issues that are important to candidates, probably the most important thing for on candidates' minds, perhaps, is funding.
Well, they're probably thinking about the 7-to-1 ratio of Republican spending over Democratic spending in this race so far.
Whether regardless of what side they're on. Yeah, but the fact of the matter is that there's a lot of different ways to get money to candidates, many different pathways to that. And since the Supreme Court's ruling in Citizens United versus the FEC, some nonprofits now don't have an obligation to disclose who's donating and how much they're donating. This is the first election since the Citizens United's case, and it's time to kind of unpack what's actually happening in light of that decision. So joining us now is Chara Torres-Spellacy. She's with the counsel at the Brennan Center for Justice. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also joining us, Craig Holman, government affairs lobbyist for Public Citizen, which is a watchdog group. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So, Craig, as I said, this is the first election since this is a Citizens United decision, and we had lots of predictions about how it would play out. How is it playing out? Are we seeing changes?
We're seeing two really big changes happening right now. First of all, there's a whole lot more money flowing into the elections itself. This election, spending is going to even exceed in the 2008 election cycle, and 2008 was a presidential election cycle. So when it comes to outside spending, we're going to see record levels of outside spending happening this year. The second really alarming trend is we don't know where that money's coming from. There literally is very little disclosure in place, and so most of this money is well hidden, it's anonymous, and we just don't know who's trying to buy this election.
Okay, so Chara, maybe you can explain how we track, how is the mechanism of this working in light of these non-disclosure rules now? How is the money getting to candidates or to these ads?
Well, we have a sort of confluence between Citizens United, which was a Supreme Court decision, and Speech Now, which was a D.C. Circuit decision. And the combination of those two decisions has created two things. One, what are known as super PACs, which are unlimited PACs. They can have unlimited contributions.
Political Action Committee.
Correct. They can gather in unlimited money from anywhere, and they can spend an unlimited amount on political ads. The other thing that we're seeing is an increased use of nonprofits. So this is the C4s and the C6s.
Because that way they don't have to disclose it according to the Citizens United decision.
Actually, Citizens United is good on disclosure. Disclosure won in Citizens United 8-to-1. So this is just an abuse of the tax code.
I see.
So disclosure won in Citizens United. It seems to me that the court is just reiterating this judicial consensus that money equals speech. I mean, I'm wondering if the alternative view here is, and I'm as conspiratorial as the next guy, maybe we should just concede that money is speech. If Americans cared more about their democracy and voted and were engaged in the political process, that would be the antidote to all this money. Money wins because it works on the fringes when few people turn out.
Well, I think the action that individuals can take is to vote, because to disengage is to let the corporations actually take over. But in the meantime, we need to change our laws. We need to make our disclosure law fit the way that politics actually works. And one of the bills that tried to do this was the Disclose Act. But it got hung up in the Senate by a filibuster because not a single Republican would peel off and vote with the Democrats for more disclosure in how we fund elections.
Okay. Craig Holman, let's go back to you for just a second and talk about just the mechanics of how these things that Chara is talking about are playing out. Can you give me some specific examples of the differences in the way campaign finance is working?
First, I'd like to give you some general figures of what's going on. We are losing disclosure. Public Citizen just completed a study taking a look at the percentage of groups that are disclosing their donations donor base on outside campaign ads. And we found in 2004 and 2006, we had about 100% disclosure because of the McCain-Feingold law. And then in 2007, the Federal Election Commission started rewriting the regulations when it came to the disclosure requirement, requiring only those donors that specifically earmarked money for electioneering activity to have to be disclosed. So suddenly, we had a drop of 50% disclosure in 2008. Then the FEC even went further. The Republican caucus on the FEC went further and specified that the funds have to be earmarked for a specific election at a specific time in a specific state in order to be disclosed. So then we had a collapse down to 32% of groups disclosing their donors in the primary of 2010. And I'm fully expecting as the flood of money comes in the November elections, we're going to see fewer than 10% of groups disclosing their donor base.
Wow. Well, okay, so tell me about a race where some of these campaign finance is changed or where it's really kind of having an effect.
Well, there are lots of races. We've got literally about a dozen stealth groups that are focusing specifically on conservative candidates. And one of them is the big old classic one, the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce, for instance, is spending about $4 million so far just on the California and Colorado Senate races, attacking Barbara Boxer and Bennett out in Colorado. And they're not going to reveal where this $4 million is coming from. We've got another group that Karl Rove has set up, Crossroads, which is kind of an interesting story in itself, because he first filed Crossroads as a Section 527 group, and that fell under a special disclosure law under the Internal Revenue Code, and he realized he'd have to disclose his donors on a quarterly basis. So he refiled the Crossroads as a 501c, and that's where most of the money's coming on. And Crossroads, for instance, is targeting some 46 different House races, but they are also spending $1.2 million to try to defeat Patty Murray out in Washington State, and they're not telling us where the money's coming from. None of these groups are, actually.
Okay, so when the political campaign funding becomes more confusing than the tax code, you know there's something wrong, right? That's Craig Holman. He's a government affairs lobbyist for the watchdog group Public Citizen, and I also spoke to Chara Torres-Spellacy with the counsel at the Brennan Center for Justice. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.